This Augusta Golf Show podcast is brought to you by Gerald Jones Audi. Inspire design, where emotion takes shape. 4022 Washington Road in Martinez.
At some point in our lives, we've all done things to fit in. But then we realize the importance of being ourselves. Introducing the distinct Audi Q5, an SUV all its own. Its LED DRLs stand out wherever they shine. And with Audi Quattro all-wheel drive and available Audi Drive Select, it delivers performance that no one can imitate. So be yourself. Visit your Audi dealer to test drive the distinct Audi Q5.
I'm David Jones. Come see the largest selection ever of Audi A3s, Q5s, and Q7s. Audi Exceptional Luxury Performance at Gerald Jones Audi, 4022 Washington Road in Martinez, or visit us on the web at geraldjonesaudi.com.
Well, James Dotson is the award-winning author of such books as Ben Hogan, An American Life, and American Triumvirate. Now, his latest book, The Range Bucket List, comes out next week. It's a pleasure to have James Dotson back on the Augusta Golf Show. Hello, Jim.
Hey, big guy. It's great to talk to you again.
Same to you. I get the impression that this is a book that has been bubbling, percolating almost all of your life.
Yeah, it's like 40 years in the making. You know, it's what they say of an overnight success. You know, it's that's a great description. It's just funny. I was just telling somebody down here in Eastern North Carolina, where I am today, that that's exactly what this. They said, "How long did it take you to write this book?" And I said, "About 40 years," because you know what it really is. It's really a love poem to the ordinary game that, well, you play at a higher level than the rest of us. But those of us who play on the level where we just love this game and the people and the characters and the stars and the history and traditions, that's what this book is about. And it's really kind of the stories I never got to tell behind the scenes with Arnold and, you know, Bill Campbell and Donald Trump and John Updike and a lot of funny people from the world of golf. So it did take that long to tell this story. And that's why I call it my love letter.
At this point in your life, Jim, do you love the game more or do you love the people you've met because of the game more?
That's a brilliant question. I love this old game because it really doesn't change a whole lot in the last 500 years it's been around. I mean, still the concepts are still the same. The equipment's better. The grass is better. The designs are more ambitious. But the game is essentially the same thing it was, and there's very few games that have changed as little as golf. So that, in that regard, I love golf. I tell you where the big change for me has come, and maybe this is dating myself, but, you know, when I had the privilege of writing Arnold's memoirs, and we became very close friends, and there's a ton of him in this book. It kind of begins with him when I was 13 and then ends with him. I was with him a few weeks before he passed away. And between, we had a great friendship from writing his book in 1998 and spent 2 years with he and Winnie. And it has all these stories that I never got to tell about their private life and what amazing people they were. And, you know, that's why this game to me means so much. The tour, however, I enjoy watching it now, honestly, with the young players. They seem to be having fun. A friend of mine used to say, you know, the problem with watching the tour during the Tiger years was that they all looked like they were having root canals. They hated the game. Well, they disliked it because they couldn't beat Tiger, you know, and they were always playing for second. And, you know, as I wrote about in American Triumvirate, Herbert Wynn once said to me, and he's in the new book, by the way, the great dean of America's golf writers, he once said to me two things. First, he said, "Mr. Dodson, I think you're the everyman, the golf writer of everyman." And he asked me, he said, "I hope I don't offend you." And I said, "No, I take that as the highest compliment, because Henry Longhurst and the kind of writers who wrote about the game and the characters and the funny people and the traditions, those are the guys I used to love to read and grew up reading." So getting to write Arnold's book and then covering the tours I did for a while, for the first maybe 6 or 7 years I was at Golf Magazine, to me that was the last fun time for the tour. You could still talk to players. You didn't have to go through 10, you know, layers of agents and so forth. Now I just I will watch. I jokingly call myself a major golf fan. I'm down at the Wells, you know, I'm going down to the Wells Fargo tomorrow because we have a connection with them at the magazines I edit, the arts and culture magazines I edit in the state. And So that, but I'm just purely a fan, and I love watching the major championships purely as a fan. But I don't really care too much for the professional golf world anymore. It's gotten so big, and it's so much about, you know, the money's so boggling. And so it's the ordinary game we play. I love, and that hasn't changed. And the best part of it is what you said, the people of golf. I've made my best friends in the golf world, as this book is a testament to. I've met some wonderful, very famous people who turned out to be just wonderful, ordinary people. As Winnie once said of Arnold, he's an ordinary man to whom something extraordinary happened. And those are the kind of people I think you meet all through the world of golf.
We're talking with James Dotson here on the Augusta Golf Show. His new book, The Range Bucket List, comes out next week. This is a question I want to ask almost every one of my guests, but I can probably only ask it of about five.
Okay.
Do you think the game is romantic?
Oh, absolutely. Is there not a more interesting game? I mean, you can't beat it. As Bobby Jones said, Old Man Par can never be beaten. There's no game, and seriously, that's older than the Constitution of the United States. It's almost as old as Magna Carta. So it has that dripping tradition that goes back. That's all about romance. Tradition is all about romance. It's clinging to an ideal of something. I mean, the whole idea that golf is a game of protocols where everybody has the same rules and the same protocols, and it is mannered. It is about the culture of graciousness. Absolutely. I think it's a fabulously romantic game. And I'm not just talking about I think the Doug Sanders of the world stretched the margins when they started wearing plum-colored pants, and maybe Jimmy Demerit. But even that part of it is kind of unique. You know, the colorful characters, the plumage of the tour has always been the great stars like Demerit and Doug Sanders, and they always wore wild clothes, you know, Payne Stewart. I mean, golf has always been a perfect, as I say in the book, the other thing that golf is in America, certainly, it's a barometer of our economic health. When times are really good, the game booms. And when there's two or three rivals, legitimate rivals, the game booms. Tiger, I think, presided over an era where the bubble bursts, and it came down really quickly. It was a lot like the housing bubble. Everybody wanted a piece of Tiger, and they wanted to make a fortune off golf. And so a lot of people that really shouldn't have been in the game got into the game and pumped, you know, and it overinflated the game, and it kind of popped like a balloon.
Who do you wish you had had the chance to meet in the game?
Oh, I met him. I'm often asked about what to do, who I would like to have written about. I met Billy Joe Patton finally, and that's a funny story, and I tell this in the book. The great amateur from North Carolina who almost won the Masters in 54. But I always thought I would write a book about maybe Lee Trevino, because here's a guy who really came up the hard way, like Hogan, but he had prejudice to deal with and a struggle, and he had a real twofold personality. In public, he was a great showman who really gave tremendously to the game. He brought the crowds out, he and Herman, and his antics and his personality was bigger than life. And then when he went into the clubhouse, it was like watching a curtain come down. He wouldn't talk to anybody. And he'd been really, I think, psychologically beaten by, you know, he had such a chip on his shoulder. By the way, so did Sam Snead. By the way, so did Byron Nelson, and so did Ben Hogan. Because it was a pure rich man's game when these caddy dogs broke in and started winning everything in sight. And Trevino has an element of that. I always thought a great friend of mine, young friend of mine from Golf Week, is working on a book about Hogan, I mean about Trevino. So I'm hoping that's going to be a really good book. So he would be one. I had a brief encounter with Henry Longhurst, who was my first real sort of, the really great commentator when I was just out of college with the Greensboro Open in 1976. It's funny, I have to say, and I really do mean this, I had the world's greatest golf job for 30 years as a columnist and essayist for golf, and then for Departures at American Express. I went all over the world writing about architecture. You know, gosh, Barney Adams, Ely Callaway, Reese Jones. I mean, these were all the people I got to become great friends with. Arnold. I met everybody I ever wanted to meet alive in golf, and I could be like a kid. I could just get to know them, and as a journalist, listen to them, and I was so fortunate. And again, that's what this book is about. It's my saying thank you to saving my life, because at age 30, I was in Atlanta writing about repo men and bullet-headed sheriffs and unrepentant Klansmen and corrupt politicians. I thought I was, instead of going to the Washington Post, I went to New England and taught myself to fly fish, and that ended up introducing me to a lady named Glenna Collett Vare, who got me into the golf world. So it was a wonderful, and that's in the book, so it's all there.
Well, the book again, The Range Bucket List, it comes out next week. He is Jim Dodson. Jim, I appreciate you taking the time to do this. It's always good to catch up with you. Thank you, James.
All right, Brother Patrick, I love it. It's great. Thank you so much. I do appreciate it.